Salutations, Mets fans. Welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and joining me this week is Greg Karam. Greg, I have a conundrum for you. We're gonna do a segment on media criticism this week, and I say I don't like doing it, but we're gonna do it anyway. But I have a bone to pick with the Mets, actually. They did a giveaway, like weird poster, silkscreen, whatever thing, of Jacob deGrom's hair. Which is fine. Jacob deGrom has nice hair. Henry Mejia has been on this team for like a year and a half. No Henry Mejia hair giveaway. Where's Andy Martino when we need him?
To talk about race relations in the Mets clubhouse or Mets front office?
Fox Sports 1 did an entire show, which I didn't get to see, so no spoilers. There's like just like Henry Mejia BSing with Doc Gooden in a barbershop. I mean, come on.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was on last night, I guess. I'm very upset I missed it. I don't get Fox Sports 1. I don't have cable. I don't know where to go to watch Fox Sports 1. It's like a bars. I go to my local neighborhood. He put Fox Sports 1 so I can see Henry Mejia get his hair cut or whatever they ended up doing. Talk with Doc Gooden. I don't know. But come on. They have like the... They had like the Keith Hernandez mustache shirt. Montreal is like an Ellis Johnson one. Why can't we get like the Henry Mejia hair shirt? Like it's just something. Like just give me something. I can't get a jersey still.
They need to be, you know, monetizing those opportunities at every, you know, turn.
Henry Mejia's hair is basically just a license to print money.
Yeah.
Any possible giveaway you could think of involving a silhouette or something, some design incorporating Henry Mejia's hair. That's all I'm asking for.
I'd be a buyer.
And Jacob deGrom. I mean, look, it's 60, 65 hair. It's fine. But it shouldn't be going to the front of the line here.
I agree.
This is episode 74, Amazing Avenue Audio. I wrote all these notes earlier in the week, and now they're already moved on to the A series, but I'm still calling this episode the See You in Hell Marlins edition. Because they're still 5 games out. They took 3 of 4 in Miami, which has not been a good place for them. But even when you win in Miami, I kind of feel like you lose a piece of your soul watching those games. So my refrain over the last couple of years when they've won in that stadium has basically been, see you in hell, Marlins.
I share that sentiment.
The Mets have been winning, though not tonight as we record this on Wednesday evening. And they certainly have bigger problems than not monetizing Henry Mejia's hair, though that is a problem. I don't want to downplay it. So we're going to figure out what they are and focus specifically on David Wright's issues at the plate. After that, we will do a segment on media criticism, which I am calling "We Don't Do Segments on Media Criticism," but and take on some recent criticisms of the Mets from some of some New York media personalities that you may know and or possibly read. I don't. I just get the Cliff Notes from Twitter. Or sometimes, in some cases, they were on Twitter. After that, we'll examine the trading deadline is about a month away. If the Mets should be buyers or sellers. And what they might have to sell and what that might look like as we move towards the All-Star break. Then we will cover a little bit of the short season preview. The short season affiliates have kicked off since, well, at least Kingsport and GCL since our last podcast. I think Brooklyn kicked off right about when we were doing our draft review with Alex Nelson last week. So there's some ground to cover there. The Mets also promoted a bunch of people, so we have to cover that as well. And that is before we get into the 7 emails you sent us this week. So batten down the hatches. I know this is the point in the podcast where I usually promise you a short podcast and then it turns into a long podcast anyway. This is going to be a long podcast, so really the sky is the limit. But we will start with Mets trivia. Yes, Rob is not here this week. Our work schedules did not align, which I think unfortunately may be a issue going forward. We'll deal with that as it comes. But I do have a Mets trivia question for you. The Mets are playing the Oakland Athletics this week. And last night, the Mets scored 10 runs, and Chris Young had a multi-home run game. He hit 2 home runs. He became the 17th player in Mets history to have a multi-home run game in an interleague game. I'm not going to ask you for all 17 because I'm not that mean. But there are two players that have done it multiple times. One player did it 3 times, and one player did it twice. So that is the Mets trivia question for this week, Greg. What two players in Mets history have more than one 2-home-run game in interleague play?
All right.
And I'll let you ruminate on that. We'll come back to it at the end of the show, hours from now, probably. So Mets are still under 500. They are still, give or take, 5 games out at the start of play this evening. And certainly one of them, I mean, we can, if we started to go through all the reasons why that is the case, the podcast would be very, very long instead of just very long. But David Wright, we're into actual summer. I think the solstice was last weekend. And David Wright is still not hitting. Entering play Tuesday, I haven't bothered to update these numbers since I made the notes. I think he went 1-for-4 with a double on Tuesday night. But he was hitting 278, 336, 395, which is still above average offensively, though just barely. It would be the worst season of his career by weighted runs created. Plus, on pace for about a 2.5 WAR season, which would be the worst sort of full-ish season of his career. His injury shortened 2011 with the back issue, obviously, was lower than that. It kind of reminds me a little bit of his 2009 season, where the sort of the we got the endless litany of Citi Field is in David Wright's head stories with the sort of the lack of power. The walks have gone a little bit, though he's not really swinging and missing more. He's not really swinging at more pitches outside of the zone, though his home run for fly ball rate and his batted ball data hasn't changed drastically. But his home run for fly ball rate would be a career low, very close to what he put up in 2009, which was his previous career low. Are we just waiting it out at this point? Are we just waiting for him to have like that 3-week stretch where he completely mashes and gets back at least closer to his career norms?
Yeah. I'm not overly concerned about David Wright. I mean, all of the peripheral numbers, the batted ball data, the plate discipline data, it's all right in the range of his career, except for, like you said, the high home run fly ball ratio, which I think, you know, baseball is just a weird game. And I mean, he's still putting the ball in play, he's still hitting the ball hard. I just think that, yeah, I think we're just going to be waiting it out. And he's already, you know, bouncing back. I mean, he's like around 340 on base, like 400 slugging almost. I mean, you know, his walk rate is down a little bit. The strikeout rate has been coming down. It's, you know, it's under 20% now, which is a good thing. But it sucks that he hasn't, you know, gotten the balls to drop and the balls to go out of the park up to this point. But I can't get too worried about it because there's just no glaring red flag, you know, in his numbers, you know, and even to the, you know, to the eye, like you can tell that he gets frustrated sometimes, but like we're all getting frustrated.
I mean, he has to watch the same games we do.
Yeah. And live with that. So, you know, it's just a weird game. I'm not too concerned. I'm just not.
I mean, the difference between now and 2009 is obviously he's 5 years older. He is 32. We've talked previously on the podcast that I don't know what his decline phase is going to look like. And he's been streaky this year like he always is, but the power, even on his hot streaks, hasn't been there. So I do wonder what to make of it. And the thing about Wright is he's had for a superstar-level player, he's had a weird career arc. I know, you know, obviously the sort of the parabola that peaks at age 28 is, you know, the average of thousands of careers that all look very different if you use the little, you know, the Fangraphs WAR graphs tool. It's not, you know, they're not all straight parabolas. But it's been, especially for a guy that's like a